Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, it's just not going to work at all. Never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
Welcome, everybody, to the Yoga Channel. Today, Patty Townsend. She was linking the word embodiment and embodied to yoga before it was cool, before it was fashionable. Very strong training, the founder of Embodied Yoga, Embod Yoga, is that right? Great. I've heard very good things, and I kind of volunteered to host this one as much as anything, because I wanted to find out more about you and your work. So, Patty, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm excited to be here. So this subject, oh my God, this subject, embodiment and yoga. What does that mean? As Leslie said, or kind of pointed to, I have personally been using the term embodiment and embody yoga for, I don't know, 20 years. And so for me, the process of becoming a yoga practitioner who made this radical spin into the field of embodiment and bringing the background of 30 years of serious meditation and yoga into this sphere where I suddenly was mind blown by my primary teacher right now, Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen. And the mind blowingness of the concept of embodying, it wasn't really yoga that Bonnie was offering, but it, you know, she was a yoga master, she just didn't know it. The concept is so profoundly different from the concepts of classical yoga that I had been adhering to in a very strong, and I'm gonna get this done kind of way. So the embodiment process, moving away from the entire idea of purify, 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 get better, better, better. I'll get rid of all this muck and then I'll be able to be awake and alive. I met this woman, Bonnie, and she was so awake and alive in every cell of her being, and so not about purifying, and yet so interestingly about noticing. So I began practicing with Bonnie, and as the practice grew, I recognized, and this is what I'm going to share with you today, how the practice of embodiment actually, to me, obviously at this point, is yoga. So all of the aspects that we learn and we know from the classical Yoga Sutra, and now very commonly from the tantric umbrella, all of those principles fit exactly perfectly into the inquiry paradigms that we use. So what is embodiment? Well, that's, you know, the definitions go all over the place, but To me, if you're embodying yoga, then you have to also be including the concepts and the paradigms of yoga. So what is yoga? Yoga is, you know, we could easily say unity. That's the thing everyone says. Well, to me, yoga is having the full access of the field, the full access all the way from the deepest core of our being, which is nothing but this swirling, ready to manifest, awake, alive awareness. And then as it comes through one layer of density, which we'll call space, we're using a little bit of a map here, space, and into the next layer, air, right? And then from the air, it comes into the fire, right? We all have some fire. The water, our emotionality, and the earth itself. So we as human beings, in terms of the tantric perspective, we are in fact embodiments of these elements along with our personal qualities and traits, our individual lives, what we do, how we think, how we feel, who we love, all of that is individual and existing simultaneously within this radiating field of awareness. So we know we're in a body. So at that level, we're already embodied, right? But the question becomes, what do you notice? Is it your ongoing direct experience that at your core, the core of your being, you are radiant, awake, and alive? Right? Are you able to carry that with you through the day and work and so on and so forth? For me, this is the question. How much access do we have to the full range of self is a good definition from my perspective of how fully embodied we are. So this is the map. The map is something called the koshas. You don't need to know. You don't need to know anything particular about the map, but it is a map that offers to us a recognition and a path. So at the densest level of ourselves, where there's like hard bone stuff, and that's the earth. And then as we get in a little bit, what we find is, oh, wait a minute, we're mostly water, right? So in terms of the elemental density of us, we're more water than anything else. And then we're this, the fire, right? Our digestion, our metabolism, our fortitude. So these are things to embody, right? The low belly and the fluidity of us, which is our emotionality. Now check it out. We're really in the outer surfaces of who we are here. We're in places that we kind of spend a lot of time knowing about, right? Well, as we go on, as we go more deeply, we get into this air element, which we recognize as being more heart, and then the key element, the biggest element happening, into which everything else has come from radiant awareness, is space. And then the yogis tell us, they say, well, the qualities of space, ananda. In fact, what we feel in the region of space is this thing, sat, chit, ananda. So the radiance of intelligence entering into form comes into space and disperses out through us. This is the map. How do we use it? Well, this is where embodiment and embodying yoga gets a little different from the classical yoga and really starts to slide into the tantric picture of things. In embodying yoga, all, you know, my friends, my colleagues, myself, we all have the idea, I think, that in order to notice the full range of this field that's manifesting within us, in order to notice that, we have to also notice the obstacles to our vision, right? So maybe at the emotional level, we have things that we hold on to. Maybe at the egoic kind of fiery level, we have things we hold on to. Let's just say self-concepts for now. In order to clarify the field and inhabit it in our bodies, in our lives, in our practice, in our relationships, in order to do that, we need to see it. So the trick is that when we are so preoccupied with our personality, like I'm this, I'm good at this, and but don't notice that I'm actually not very good at this, and I don't kind of like that about myself. These are little knots, and they're knots in both our exoteric, our structural nervous system. They're also knots in our subtle nervous system, but they're knots, they're constrictions. And what happens to us as observers is that we get in there and we find these restrictions and we say, ew, I don't like that. I gotta get away from that. Wait, no, I'll change it. I'm a determined person. I'm gonna change that thing. I'm gonna alter myself and improve myself because I have this vision that I wanna know who I am on every level. Well, check this out. As long as you're trying to change it, you're completely locked in it. The sea of the vastness that you and I and all of us here are part of really is not obstructed by this thing that you call your problem. It doesn't care. What it would like, what we as individuals would also like, is to just notice this radiance. So by taking these little obstructions that we think, I'm going to purify them, that's the old classical yoga, I'm going to purify them, I'm going to get all better so that I can sit and close my eyes and stop breathing, right? Those obstructions just stay as long as we resist. So what do? We go in there with a context. And this is the important part. We go in with the context of knowing that deep to every issue, deep to every aspect of who we are, is this element of space, which is like the biggest thing happening within our body-mind structures. This element of space is the quality of the deepest at-homeness, called ananda, of bliss, not happiness. It's not about being happy. This is about, oh, I get it. I get it. So what are we doing? We're looking at these little thoughts and traits and we're accepting them. Now that doesn't mean we can't alter, you know, we can't say, well, this isn't a big deal. This is about like coffee, for example. First of all, I gave up giving up coffee 20 years ago, but for now, maybe you think you have to give up coffee. So you, I gotta give it up. I'm locked in that. It's like, no, give it up. Give up giving up coffee. Give up thinking that, yeah, okay, I feel I'm not good enough. Good, no argument. Wow, I feel I'm not good enough. The context of the space, which is revealed by the unraveling of the issues, is the ananda. So the ananda rises up when we allow ourselves to be our own human, mucky, blah, selves without restriction. We notice who we also are, this pure awareness. So embodiment, to me, means gaining access to that full field without restriction. It's like, yes, I cry when my child is having trouble and yes, I'm sad, and then yes, I am full of spontaneous joy, but so am I also, and so are you. So are you, your personality and your gifts, right? But check this out too, because it's so important. You can't just pretend. This doesn't work like, okay, now I'm going to be my goddess self. I'm so the goddess, and I'm going to move, and I'm going to breathe from this awareness of my divinity. Maybe, or maybe it's mood making. So we also use this process, which is called viveka, the santosha, acceptance of what is without inferring non-action, and viveka, don't fool yourself. Stay clear. If you really want to know, you're going to have to pierce through all those tricks of mind that get in the way and think that they are in charge. So that is that. Here we go. What do we do, right? Because we are action people. We want to do something. You can't just say, I'm this. Right? We have a little bit of technique. So here's where I hope you can stay with me in this descriptive part, because it's important, the context of what one does, the actions that one takes are important. And we also need to know that ultimately we are safe and held in this, because as long as we don't feel like, why would I want to take this thought about myself? I don't want that. The context is that there's more comfort if you can just allow it and let it go. So the context is super important. And that's the philosophy of unity. And that's the philosophy of radiance at the source of all of this. So what do we do? Well, the first thing in embodiment that we can choose is we can accept that there may be a little bit of a misunderstanding in how we imagine that human beings perceive. How do we perceive ourselves? Well, for hundreds, I don't know, maybe thousands, I don't know how long, years, the whole paradigm has been what I would call a top-down paradigm. The brain is basically in charge of everything. The nervous system goes out to the body, figures out, finds out what's happening, and it brings it back to the brain. Right? So the brain is in charge or something. Well, this is based on an old paradigm that we're discovering through embodiment that just isn't true, that the brain is somehow the hub of everything and the seat of intelligence. No. Your brain is also intelligent. And so is every cell in your body. Every cell in your body is awake, it's alive, and it's self-aware. It doesn't need you thinking about, my cells are awake. Now I'm gonna move with my awake. No, you wait for them. You wait for them so that they initially will let you know. You wait. Well, eventually, as one, this kind of center, yeah, your brain's probably going to be a big part of this at your first part. Your brain says, well, that's really interesting. There's some kind of vibratory alive, obviously. And what we find is that each and every cell in our bodies is, as I said, awake, alive, self-aware, further self-illuminated. And this is science. self-illuminated. There's this liquid light pouring in the cytoskeleton of your cells. Liquid light, right? What is light? Light is this energetic core radiant stuff that is coming through the space, air, fire, water, and earth of you. Right in the cells. Now, in our initial perceiving, we're going to do some cellular awareness practices in a moment. And I just want to say, in the initial looking at this, it's fine to let it be a top-down. It's like, wow, I, this Patty person, is perceiving this first. But eventually, by bringing up the liveliness and the qualities of the cells, by paying attention to them, they like that, by recognizing them, they are expressing their own awareness of self. They don't need my mind. They don't need it. So the embodiment becomes this undulating, breathing amalgam of all qualities, unrestricted, awake, alive, self-aware. Yes, you can still be smart. You can do that, but it is not what wakes up the cells of your body. So in full embodiment may mean that we go all the way through all of the layers of our own humanity, deep into the muck, the personality, deep into the muck. I'm hoping that you're imagining for yourself as you listen to this, like, what's my muck? What's the stuff I don't really quite like? Oh yeah, there it is. Well, what if you can allow it to be without inferring non-action? You get to do something about it if you want to, but first you have to see it and kind of love it. Kind of, like a deep acceptance, right? A deep acceptance of the muck without pretending I'm so awesome and divine. No. Not my direct experience, but I know about this one. What will that free in me in order to know and to recognize directly my divinity and my humanity? So embodiment is no way out. You're not getting out of this deal. You're born into form. This is it. Now we're looking at what I consider to be, in a certain way, a more kind of nature and feminine look at awareness, where it's fully manifested into this form, and it's sensory and it's sensual and it thinks and it feels and all of that. And it has awareness under it, right at its core, equal. So it's your cells. We go to the cells. And one of the reasons that we start with the cells, we can start with an organ, we can start with a thought, we can start with anything, as long as we continue the trajectory in through the surface to the more subtle layers, through and deeper into that contextual deep comfort that is there. That then, even because of its deep context of comfort, assists the releasing of the obstructions. Because we know now, we know, oh, it's going to be better. I'm going to feel better. Now, one of the wonderful things about going to the cells of the body, and that's what we're going to explore in a couple of minutes here. One of the wonderful things about going to the cells is that you can't think them. You know, you just can't. They are crazy, wild, intelligent. Each one has its own double membrane. It swims in a fluid environment. It's full of this wildly bright cytoplasm, the fluid inside your cell. It's got all these organelles. Every single function and structure that you have in your physical form is also inside your cell. So it's a microcosm of you, as you are a microcosm of a more universal whole. So we take this, our body-mind system, we go into its, one of its microcosms, the cell, and we explore. We look for the liveliness in the cell, and our attention coming into active relationship with anything brings up its liveliness. So we awaken the cells, and in awakening them, they become clearer and more bright and more available to our direct perception. So let's try it. Take your hands like this. So I'm using really hot, soft hands. They're not collapsed. They're just soft, like I actually want to touch and feel something, right? And then I've got them turned up because what I'm wanting to touch and feel right now is the sensation of the heavy weight of gravity coming down onto my hands and flowing through the rather thick and sensitive pads of my hands. So you've got 14.7, oh, it's pounds, it's American pounds, 14.7 pounds of pressure in each square inch, again, an inch, right? That's a lot of weight. Are you so used to that weight that you don't bother feeling it anymore, right? Of course, obviously, you can't go around saying, whoa, gravity is really, but it is gravity. By the way, gravity is your friend, not your enemy. Gravity, ooh, you need it, gives you your texture. All right, so softening your skin. And then noticing the sensation of your skin. And then imagining, noticing, feeling that this touch of gravity going through your soft skin goes pretty darn deep into your hand. Those are thick fascial pads in there. They're sensitive. All right, so you've got a sense of the touch of the air on your hands. And don't be in any hurry, don't harden anything, but wherever it is that you're sitting, just slowly lift your hands up a bit and turn them over and place them. Don't do anything but just place them. Just place them maybe on your legs. It could be anywhere, really. It really doesn't matter. You could just touch your arm. It's so perfectly fine. I'm gonna use my legs because that's how I'm seated right now. My hands are touching my legs. I feel that. Do your legs feel the touch? What feels that? Are your legs equally touching your hands? Could we say that hands and legs right now are in active relationship with one another, and they're also without agenda, going nowhere, doing nothing. I'm not touching to feel and massage. I'm not thinking, oh, my energy, I have to energize. Just there, just present. What an incredible gift. This is the beginning of what we call in body yoga and body mind centering, and now hopefully much more commonly being spread through certainly the yoga world. This is what we call cellular touch. Cellular touch has no agenda. It's just present. Cellular touch, this present and no agenda, is one of the ways we can hone in and say, wow, there's something very awake and alive under my hands. This may or may not be your experience right now. Don't worry, this is just the process. Awake and alive. It is awake and alive. It doesn't need me to improve it. There it is. It's a cellular awareness. Now, what you might feel and what you might not feel, it's all perfectly fine because this is a practice. What you may begin to feel is, whoa, touch another spot. Don't do anything. Also, no need to hold perfectly still because nothing that is alive is still. And again, the whole paradigm of trying to still and perfect is just not inclusive of the life, the mess of you, the mess of your humanity is there under your touch, and the brilliance and the bright of your divinity. Well, let's just take the touch to the heart, you know, I mean, that's a big deal in yoga. Can you touch your heart without agenda? Can you touch without saying, okay, I love, I'm sad, or uh-oh, anything, just and in the same way as you touch, your heart touches back. So what we're talking about here in the body, in this cellular touch, cell to cell, organ to organ, body to body, nervous system to tissue, fascial weave, the whole thing. What we're talking about is active relationship. We enter into active relationship. We're alive, active relationship with our entire being, including the muck, and including the radiance that we know and that we open to experiencing directly. No pretending, no cutting off humanity, the allowing and the expressing. So what we end up with, another key in this, from a top-down paradigm of brain in charge, we come into an experience where the intelligence of the entire body-mind system, the entire thing, is offering to itself and all of us at all times its own information, its own radiance. And this is the embodiment of yoga, so that every cell, every tissue recognizes itself to be structural and radiant. Earth, water, fire, space, consciousness, body. Some of the gifts are increased health, you know, increased vitality, the cellular awakening that we offer ourselves through our touch and our process has a tendency to enliven the awake qualities that we're looking for. So, and this is real. So the sphere of perception is the whole thing. The perceiving capacity is the whole thing. It's not nerve to the brain, brain registers, hand does something. It's right there. And the process is coming into active relationship with what is. So let's do some process. We just did this and the softening of your hands. Right? Let's come around. So maybe you're on the floor, maybe you're not. If you're on the floor, it might be best. Probably you practice yoga because you're watching this, so probably you don't mind being on the floor. And I'm just going to be on my knees here for a moment, and this setting up again. Okay, I see. Setting up again of the sensitivity of hands, entering active relationship. My perceiving active relationship with my own hands, that means noticing. Now you look out forward and you say, like a newborn, fresh, what does that feel like? Can you do that? If you wanted, you could have something that you're much more interested in than your mat. I like my mat. So what does that feel like? I'm gonna take these sensory devices and I'm gonna touch. Now in the touching, when I'm willing to feel the other of the earth and the mat and the texture of density under me, when I'm really ready to feel that, I have released a lot of the egoic involvement of something like, now I'm gonna do downward dog, right? It's just, whoa, what does that feel like? Oh. And then coming up over it into, you know, hands and knees kind of thing, I'm gonna touch deeply through one whole arm, yield into earth. I'm bringing the other hand up into my own belly and yield deep into earth, push into it. I'm overdoing so you can see. Push into it. Travel it up to my belly where I'm also touching. There's relationality. Earth takes support. The flow of force, that's prana, it's force, into belly, and the fact that this body is moving. Doesn't matter what you do, you don't have to do a thing. And then hand goes down. Oh, there's it is again. What a relief. It's not all about me. There's something there. I can enter relationship with it. Oh, I can even receive support. Support into self.
small cell. And it's like, oh, I can get support in the earth and then maybe even move away from earth, right? And back onto your knees. Touch hands on thighs. Do nothing. Make a choice for yourself. Would it be, sit comfortably, by the way, whatever that means. You can be on a chair. What does it mean to this organism, this thinking, feeling, complex, spectacular, and mucky organism, what does it mean to take deep support from the earth under me? We start with earth because it's pretty safe, right? We can pretty well know that the earth will offer its style support. Now, let's make it a little more. So if there's a reaching up, we reach up from support under us. We know where our support is coming from first. So we're looking at these weaves of awareness inside, and the support is there, maybe. And the arms can come out from the center, and we can feel out there. There's no right or wrong way. You cannot do this wrong, right? And then maybe touch the center chest, maybe the back chest too. And you feel the thick in the region of the center chest where your heart is nestled into your lungs, right? And then maybe as the lungs fill, we can allow the arms to reach out and up with the filling lungs. Maybe they'll get all the way. And you can release them back down. All right, so then the question, who am I in this? This is the yogic question. Who am I in this? Right now, it will change, but who am I in this? Am I in my thinking mind? Am I in the sensuality of something? As we explore, it becomes easier and easier to be inhabiting basically all of it all the time, like a hologram. You lay on this layer, and then I don't know if they do this with holograms, but they don't. They lay on this layer. It's like you are becoming a hologram. You got your bones. And you got the muscles and the fascia on them, and we inhabit them. This is embodiment. We take them apart, we pay attention, we learn how they move, we learn their consciousness, and then maybe we go a little deeper. Oh, there's a fascial weave. And the fascial weave in the body is much like the communicative aspect in every cell, the cytoskeleton. The cytoskeleton is the communication structure within the cell, and the fascia, long live the fascia, backseat the nervous system, I'm afraid, in a certain way. Fascia is expansive, it's light, it feels itself, and it's unified through the whole body. And exhale, bring it down. So it's an elastic weave. If we're with fascia for a moment, it's an elastic weave, and you don't watch, you don't go, or not at the fascia, you know. At the fascia, you go, something moves, everything moves. And it's elastic. Can you do it? Right? I mean, we're doing an awful lot right now. But, you know, it's a little potpourri, a little taste of some of these structures. big, long. Take big, thick, long. It's dark and rich. It's an organ. It contains dreams and subconscious, deep conscious. Oh, and it integrates here through the marrow of your bone to support the big reach of your fingers. And then exhaling, long, long, and long. Going nowhere, doing nothing. Settling into the perception as it feeds itself. And then inhaling, long, long, long. Deep breath, filling and condensing. So there's this squeezing of dense, expanding, squeezing of dense, the exhale. Inhale, expand, expand, and exhaling the melting of arm through its marrow in conjunction with its organ lung. So this is just, as I said, it's very much like a little bit of everything. And all of these explorations, each one is a practice on its own. So what I learned from my teacher, Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen, is that we differentiate all of these body systems and processes and learn so much about both their structure and their consciousness. And then we go to another one, we differentiate and we learn, and we go to another one, so on and so forth. And as we're embodying these templates are awake in the body. And then it becomes the real amalgam of the spanda, the expanding, condensing, yielding, aware, manifesting of the universe. So we have that inside. And as we can hold that, can we also hold the foibles, the traits, the qualities. And then with that recognition, can we then, out of our real strength, can we then be useful? And of course, this is called our dharma. What do we do, right? What do we do with this depth? In classical yoga, one might have just gone out of the body and said, good, out of the bag of bones. Literally, the bag of bones. And that, many people have an affinity for that, wanting out, perfectly fine. But some of us have opened to this and then said, and I have 4 children and I'm running a business. And I want to be able to be in that whole thing with all of its challenges without losing the connection, the access to the radiance of the field. So in our last several minutes together, I'd like you to come to a comfortable seated position. Again, it could be a chair. I'm going to change back into a cross-legged seated position up on a blanket. We are planning here to do a little bit of finishing breathing, because this whole thing breathes, right? So find your comfort wherever it is, and then maybe even take your palms up again and feel. Allow your the somaticizing of the feeling of your hands. That's somaticizing, and that's first. Embodying is when the cells themselves, recognize themselves. That's embodying. And then touch again anywhere if you like, and maybe this time allow your eyes to close. You are, we all are in deep relationship with Earth. We all are in deep relationship with all of the elements of our planet. And we ourselves are like expanding, condensing, and yielding cells, floating, swimming in the world of other cells, structures, elements, all of that. Inside of you, the expanding of the breath on the inhale, make it easy, soften your skin, and the condensing of the breath on the exhale. Might it be your whole body? Might it be this expanding comes and ripples through the cells of you and back? Might it be? Can you soften your face and your mouth and allow your tongue to just go down to the base of your mouth without pushing it, plastering it up? Maybe you can feel that by resting your tongue, your brain rests. It does. Maybe you can feel the touch of your inhaling and exhaling breath through the deep nasal pathways, through the pharynx, right behind the nose, down through your throat, all the way behind the sternum into your lungs. Maybe you can. And then allow yourself the inquiry here before we finish. The inquiry into, do I have the inner support to go deeper? Because support precedes deep inquiry. Do you feel, yes, I would like to go deeper? Or not now? Knowing not now is a really profound recognition of self. So if that's your case, boy, not now, it could change. So your inquiry, honoring it, good, opening your eyes if you like, feeling your fingers, inhale and exhale, bring them around, listen. Don't touch too fully, hold the skin of your heart right inside the skin of your hands. Hold it tenderly, bring it down and back towards your own heart and offer the space and the love that lives inside the space. To yourself, to your loved ones, and if you like, to the world.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. Very rich. Thank you. If you want to get in touch with Patty, we've put her Instagram, Facebook, and website in the chat there. So they will be there. And just do a couple of practicalities and I'll come back to Patty for the final word. So as ever, the Facebook group for the conference is pretty civilized, pretty fun, lots of nice conversations. There will be a coffee break as per normal after this. If you want to say hi and chat to some real humans in the coffee break, please do that. And as ever, the library is available so you can digest all these sessions in your own time. It's 50% off until after the conference when the price will go up. So you'll get it half price if you want that now. Okay, thank you, Emily, my host. Anything you want to say about the Yoga Channel, Emily? Like what's coming up in Yogaland? Lots of other good talks. Okay, people may be interested in John Kabat-Zinn, who's later on today, Lawrence Heller from the Trauma World, who's very good, and Rick Hansen late tonight from Meditation, and all sorts of things tomorrow, like Stephen Porges, Max Strom from the Yoga World will be on the main stage, all sorts of good people. So, Patty, do you have a top embodiment tip for our book to finish us off?
A tip? Is that what you said, Mark?
A tip, or just a quote about embodiment.
Sure. Pay attention. Inquire deeply with self-acceptance and clear mind.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today.